Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts this morning comes from the first chapter of 1 Peter, verses 3 through 9 as follows. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And so far, the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, hope springs eternal, they say. Hope. No farmer would ever plant a seed if he didn't have hope to reap. No businessman would invest a dime if he didn't have some hope to reap the benefit someday. When we talk about Christian hope, we really have to define it, because it's different than those kind of hopes. It's much different than, oh, I hope you have a nice day, or I hope you have a safe trip. No. Christian hope is different. And that's what this text is all about. Christian hope is a living thing. Hope, Christian hope, is the absolute rock-solid certainty that all of God's words and promises are true. That everything that he has promised us, the forgiveness of sins, the rising unto eternal life someday, everything that the word says is true and certain. And we have his ironclad guarantee on it, because this living hope, which is in each one of us, was created by the Holy Spirit and placed in your heart through the gift of faith. Your faith clings to that solid rock, as we just sang in the last hymn, and believes it. It's a living hope. So being Christians for us is more than just being sort of hopeful about things that'll happen in the future. No. We have the guarantee, and our faith works that living hope in our hearts and lives so that we do believe what God has promised. Because what God has said he will do, those things will happen. What God has said he's done, those things have happened. Our theme today is faith's living hope. We'll look at our inheritance in our Savior Jesus Christ. We'll look at our comfort and also our goal in Christ. The text mentions our inheritance. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." The living hope that God has placed in your heart clings to the inheritance that God promises in these words. What is the inheritance? Well, it goes on to explain our inheritance with four wonderful words and phrases. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. Your inheritance, and what is it? Life eternal. It's constantly being at your Savior's side. It's not something that is on the horizon somewhere out of reach. But no, no. By faith, right now, God has given you eternal life. It's yours right now. Right now, your Savior is at your side. He has never left, has He? Ever since faith was given to you, maybe it's your baptism, maybe when the Word worked, the Holy Spirit worked through His Word in your heart and caused you to believe and made you His own dear child. Your faith, that gift we talked about, like an extra hand that the Holy Spirit put on your heart, has been believing these promises, trusting in them, clinging to them. Because that's what faith does. That's what it means when we read in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. You and I, the just ones, every believer everywhere, the just ones, shall live. We have eternal life right now. We will be in heaven at the last day. We will be in heaven when we leave this earth. Our souls will be there. And then on the last day, we'll be alive with Him forevermore, reunited in our sin-free bodies. Our souls will be reunited to our bodies, and we will be with our Lord forever. Our faith believes those promises. They are certainties. The just shall live by faith. We cling to it. When Jesus says in His all those good Easter passages that we've heard already, because I live, you shall live also. Our faith clings to it. When our loved ones leave this earth and we suffer grief, what else is there? What other comfort is there than the genuine comfort that our faith clings to, of the living hope that is our resurrected Savior Jesus Christ, who says, because I live, you shall live also. It's our inheritance. It's incorruptible. No one can corrupt it. It's undefiled. No one can make that unclean. The inheritance that God has given to us, our living hope, clings to by faith. It's undefiled. It does not fade away. In fact, the older we get, the more close to eternal life it seems that we are coming. It gets clearer and clearer. The more we read God's Word, it doesn't fade away. It comes closer to us. And it's reserved in heaven for you. That's your inheritance. Jesus said it in a different way when He said, I go to My Father's house. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you. He promises us that this place is reserved for us. It's part of our inheritance. And your faith, your living hope that your faith believes, looks forward to that inheritance in Jesus. He earned it for you when He paid the price that your sins demanded on the cross. When His blood fell that day on Calvary on Good Friday, it paid in full every sin you've ever committed. It paid in full not only for your sins, but mine, for everyone here this morning, for everyone in the world who's ever lived. Full payment. No sin went unpaid that day. The precious blood of your Savior did the job. And God accepted that payment. And we recently, last Sunday, celebrated His resurrection. And this text brings to us and puts the Easter resurrection right back in front of our eyes. And our living hope that is in our hearts is grasped by our faith that believes in God's promises. We believe in this inheritance. And what great comfort that gives each one of us. What comfort in Christ we have because of faith's living hope. The text says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this we greatly rejoice. We come back time and time again, year after year, celebrating Easter, reminding ourselves of the resurrection of our blessed Savior Jesus and what that means to us. We carry it with us all week long, wherever we go. We remind ourselves of what our God in His love has done for us, for our sin problem, how He now regards us as His own dear children. We take great comfort from faith's living hope. And the text mentions that while we are here on this side of eternity anyway, we'll be going through those trials. He says, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Well, I know almost all of you very well. I do know all of you. And I've only been here for a couple of years, and I know some of the things you have been through and your families have suffered, the various trials. But then you think of your entire life and what you've, the tough parts of your life that the Lord has gotten you through. And you're able right now to see and to look back and say, this is how God delivered me then. Oh, that's why he did that. And your faith, which believes all of God's promises, clings to Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's a promise. Your living hope believes it. Your faith grasps it. So that even though you may not see God's hand, and how is God going to make this one turn out for my good, yet your faith still believes his promise that it will. That he'll always work it out for your spiritual good. What a comfort that is. Did you catch these words in here that describe your faith? The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Gold? Perish? Well, gold is one of those elements that scientists use because it doesn't perish. Because it has the most lasting, long-lasting... For instance, I was reading an article about the satellites that they put up in orbit, or those what NASA puts into space. They don't make that out of cheap material. They use the fine, for all the circuitry, it's gold plated because it lasts the longest. This ring around my finger has been on there for 25 years. Or your gold that you have. That's not the first place this gold has been in the existence of this world. Probably won't be the last either, unless the Lord comes soon. Gold has a way of coming back and resurfacing. Gold lasts a long time, and yet the Bible here says that your faith, this gift which God has given you, is much better, is much more sure and certain, and will outlast even gold that perishes. Wow, is this a powerful passage for what God has done for us. The genuineness of your faith. How genuine is your faith? I know your sinful flesh will question your faith. Do I really believe in God? And the doubts you have and the things you go through and the tears that come because of this sinful world will all try to question you, have you question your faith, whether or not you really have faith. God here lifts you up and gives you that great encouragement that your faith is so genuine. It's much more certain and will last longer than gold that perishes. Ah, that's quite a comfort in our Savior Jesus Christ. And you know how gold is refined, right? They heat it up. They submit it to certain kinds of temperatures. And then what happens is the impurities that are in the gold rise, and it's called dross, and they clean the dross off, and then you have purer gold. Well, that's how the Lord describes the troubles that come our way in life. Those times when we have trials and griefs and problems, physical, emotional, financial, you name it, marital, relationship strain, things like that. This is the dross that comes off of our faith, so that our faith is made more pure. So that every time something happens, your faith believes it, that the truth, that all of the experiences that the Lord allows to happen in your life will always work out for the benefit of your spiritual welfare. It's there, and he allows them so that you can get to heaven. It's part of your inheritance. Faith, living hope, trusts in this inheritance. It trusts in the comfort that Jesus gives. It also looks to the goal, our goal in Jesus. We read in verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. Sound familiar? We just read in our text about Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, in one of our Bible readings. Sometimes he's referred to as doubting Thomas, but you look at his confession of faith when he said he would not believe unless he actually saw with his eyes, right? The nail prints in the Lord's hands and feet and the pierced wound in his side that the spear made. Jesus appeared to them when Thomas was present for the second. He appeared to the disciples the second time when Thomas was there and said, Thomas, put your finger here, put your hand in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but be believing. And that's when Thomas made such a wonderful confession. He said, my Lord and my God. What a beautiful confession from that man. Faith filled his heart and he believed and trusted in his Savior. And then Jesus says something that gives us great comfort too and sets us up for the goal that Jesus wants us to look at all of our lives long. He said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are those, forever happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. Who is that but you, me, and every believer of all? You know, we don't have videos of Jesus while he was here on earth. We don't trust our physical eyes. We trust the eyes of our faith. Our living hope is in God's Word and the Holy Spirit, who works faith in our hearts through that Word and continues to nourish and strengthen our faith with these beautiful gospel promises to us. It says, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The final goal is the salvation of your souls. There are other passages that I could take you to that tell us that heaven is ours. In Romans it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, right now, no condemnation. God looks at you and it's not like he says, well, okay, I forgive you for this past week, just don't do it again. Oh no. He looks at you and he justifies you. He declares you not guilty. He says you have, not only are you forgiven all your sins, but you are not guilty through what my son did. In God's sight, then, you've never sinned. You are innocent and holy and righteous, blameless. That's the comfort that assures us. Our faith believes that, and our faith then clings to that final deliverance where the end of our faith, as our text calls it, the salvation of your souls. So you see, all of us have goals in life for different things. And certainly our Christian faith works in us a desire to finally make it to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. But the goal that is laid out here before us, the underlying truth of it is that God's doing it all for you. It's going to happen because of what he has done. That's how it opens up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say what he has done for us. Even using the things that happen to us in our individual lives to refine our faith so that it firmly believes in his promises. The fact that we haven't seen him and yet believe and continue every time we hear about the resurrection on Easter Sunday and all through the year, the fact that we continue to express our joy in the Lord is proof to us that the gospel is alive and well in our lives. The gospel does work in you and continues to motivate you to look forward to all these things, the inheritance, the comfort, and the goal, which is eternal life. Farmers plant their seeds in hope. Businessmen invest in hope. Your faith hears the word and is given a living hope. The object of your faith, it's that strong rock, your risen Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what your faith clings to. He comes to us in his word. He comes to us in our baptisms. He comes to us through the Lord's Supper to forgive us our sins and to remind us of His great gospel promises. Through faith in Him, we live out our days and we look forward and beyond the troubles and the doubts that this world brings to the glories, to the certainties of the next world, which is the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. We just sang it in our last hymn, verse 3 of 206, that says, "Nay, too closely am I bound unto Him by hope forever. Faith's strong hand the rock hath found, grasped it, and will leave it never. Even death now cannot part from its Lord, the trusting heart." Amen.